Mr. Steve Rui from PSEU is here. How are you, Steve?
I'm good. Thank you very much.
Good, good. Glad to
be here in Seattle, and where it's cooler than Phoenix.
I think every place is cooler than Phoenix right now.
That's probably easy to say. That's an easy statement to make, yes.
But it is a bit chilly out today. It's kind of fallish.
It feels good, actually. Yeah. Yeah, when you walk out there, when you're used to 115, this feels very good. Yeah.
I bet. It's like air conditioning outside. So.
Exactly.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about your presentation that it was entitled Risk Management in the EMV Area. And for those few folks that didn't make it to attend, can you give a quick summary on what it was all about?
Well, it was brilliant. I can start with that.
Yeah. Excellent.
I'm sure.
We like that.
Yeah. We talked about risk management in the EMV era, which we are in right now.
Yeah.
We as an industry are not done with EMV. There's still a lot of credit unions that are still in the process of issuing their EMV cards. So we talked about that. We talked about where the industry is in terms of issuance. We talked about where the merchants are in terms of putting their terminals in.
Mm-hmm.
And as of right now, there's only 22% of the merchant locations that have terminals, but there's some of the big merchants.
Okay.
So
okay.
A location like Walmart equals a location.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's not as bad as it looks, if you will, but it still looks like a small number.
Okay.
And they're projecting that by the end of 2017, 57% of the merchant locations will have EMV terminals active.
That's good.
But again, that represents some of the biggest merchants.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have a certain percentage of merchants, like your doctor, your dentist, that are probably never going to go chipped, and they're always going to be in that percentage.
Yeah.
So the effective percentage is probably a little higher than the 57% they're talking about in the forecast. But we're still in the middle of EMV. We're still seeing counterfeit. The good news is that those members, credit unions that have issued EMV, they're starting to see a decline in counterfeit, which is what EMV is designed to prevent.
Right.
And we're also seeing another indicator that we think shows that things are working, because we see the counterfeiters migrating away from chip terminals and chip merchants towards the merchants that don't have chip terminals. And as you know, there was a liability shift that went in October 1st of 2015.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a chip card and the merchant doesn't have a chip terminal, you get to shift the liability.
Uh-huh.
We've seen, at PSEU, we've seen $4 million worth of chargebacks for our members since October 1st, 2015. So it is working. Then, you know, we talked about, okay, EMV's working. Historically, after an EMV implementation, we've seen an increase in card-not-present fraud.
Right.
They saw that in the other regions.
Mm-hmm.
We talked a little about that today.
Was there an increase? Did we see anything?
We did in the European region, for example. They went to chip. Five, six, 7 years
ago,
and yes, they did see an increase in card-not-present fraud afterwards.
Right. What about here?
It's early days on that.
Okay.
We're not seeing any increase in card-not-present fraud. It's made up a good percentage of our fraud anyway, besides counterfeit.
True.
So it's just too early to say that we're going to have this wave of card-not-present fraud. I mean, history would indicate that might be the case, but we're not seeing it yet, or I don't think it's any time yet to declare some, you know, pending doom on card not present. And there's some things that are being done. If you look at Canada, which was the last region to go EMV, they did see an increase in card not present fraud, but it didn't happen, surprisingly, for about 3 years till after they went. Yeah. So there was a period where it didn't go up, and then it started to go up a little bit. And, you know, Canada is a much smaller market than the United States in terms of volume and merchants. So I think we need to be aware of it. We need to be looking for solutions. There's some solutions out there now for card not present, but they're not. There's nothing out there that somebody said, okay, this is the one solution.
Right.
There probably never will be one solution, but right now there's different solutions that are being developed. There's tokenization, there's verified by Visa, there's MasterCard Secure Code, there's some other things going on, but there's no industry boom, this is a solution kind of thing. You know?
Okay.
So that just bears watching. But I still think it's early days and early. You know, we're not seeing that spike yet.
Okay. From a consumer's perspective, and I'm using this from personal experience, the process is really slow compared to the swipe. I mean, you know, you're in and out of there in 0.5 seconds, whereas with the EMV process, it's 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, sometimes 10 seconds. And I know Visa and MasterCard have in the works software, whatever, to, I think there's the Quick Chip and then the MasterPass, something.
Well, MasterPass is an online tool, but you're right.
Visa has
what they call the Quick Chip.
Yeah, and then MasterCard has one as well.
Right,
which is going to speed things up tremendously. But
yes, it's supposed to. We'll see.
Yeah.
But if you think about the way the MagStripe, It's a very simple example. Think of the way the magstripe worked at the point of sale. You could walk up in the grocery store, and while they were checking you out, you'd swipe your card. Now, with the chip, I don't know why it happened or what happened, but you kind of have to wait for the cashier to be done, then you put your chip in. Yeah. So Visa and MasterCard get that, and they're engineering around that. Yeah. So it'll over time, I think it'll become faster, and it'll be, you know, it'll be business as usual.
Exactly. People,
you know, this transition will smooth out over time.
Yeah, I just thought it was funny over the holidays when this thing was starting that none of the terminals were working. I would go into like all these big time stores, and like they had it, but none of them were working. And I asked them, I said, well, what's going on? I said, it's too slow. We need to get people in and out so we can drive our revenue up.
Yeah, we are in a transition. I mean, some of us are old enough to remember when terminals went in with magstripes, okay? And there were issues then too. And we went from the zip-zap machines to actual terminals and magstripes, and there were issues there, and we got through them, and I think we'll get through this one too.
I'm just pointing that stuff out. I thought it was funny, especially over the holidays.
But when you're in the middle of it, it does seem material.
So what kind of keeps you awake at night when it comes to this type of stuff? I mean, as you say, we're like, it's almost like step one with EMV for us, and we got a long ways to go.
Well, we've seen different risks come and go over time. And EMV and the counterfeiting we're seeing right now in the data compromises and things like that is just sort of another generation of risk management issues we have to deal with. And, you know, when you're worried about that, you're always kind of up at night because you're thinking about, okay, what's the solution?
Yeah.
What's the scalable, ubiquitous, cost-effective solution for this? So that's what you constantly think about. And then let's say EMV solves counterfeit and we expect the losses to go down, and I think we will see that. We're going to have another generation. When mobile phones come in and people start paying more with their phone, not their card, there's going to be things there we're going to have to fix too.
Right, right.
So it's sort of a cat and mouse game over time. And what keeps you up at night is, okay, what's the next problem? What's the next solution?
Yeah. Keeps you on your toes, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Steve, I'm going to take you out the hot seat here. Last question. What do you want to learn here? What do you want to accomplish that you can take back to your job and then give back to the credit union industry?
Yeah, I love coming to these things because, you know, you sit in your office and you think you know what's important, or you think you know what's on people's minds, and you come out to these kind of situations and you deal directly with the credit unions and their people that are on the front line dealing with these issues every day, and you get a whole different perspective. So for me, that's great. I spent some time this morning with a very nice lady from Jefferson Parish in Louisiana, and it's a very small credit union, but she had a very relevant to me, sort of impactful conversation with me about things that they're having to deal with that we don't always think of. And right down at the grassroots level.
Right.
Yeah. So that's great.
It's good to get that feedback right. And I'm still saying there's nothing better than a face-to-face meeting, even though we live in this digital era. So that's the kind of stuff you get.
I agree. Yeah.
Steve, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Great conversation.
Thanks.
Well done.
Cheers.